And I'm going to try to preach because I do have a great message that God gave me today. We started a new series last week. Pastor Dave kicked it off with Happy Hour. And the name of the series is Going Public. Going Public, right? And I'm really excited to share this with you because a couple of months ago, I had this opportunity to meet with a church consultant. And and I didn't want to. Because I've had some pretty negative experiences with church consultants in the past. And I always walk away feeling like, ugh, you know, like this. But I knew that God was directing me to go and meet with this person. And so I'm driving there, and I'm really fighting intimidation. Has anyone ever had that happen where you know you have an appointment that you are that you're destined to go to, that you know God called you to do it, but you don't want to because you're like, my experiences were screaming in my head. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. But it was my own intimidation. It was myself. I was like so convinced he was going to tear me apart and tell me everything I'm doing wrong, you know? That's what I thought. And so I'm praying. I'm like, God, I heard myself saying out loud, God, I don't want my own intimidation to get in the way of something you have for me from this guy. I don't want my past experiences to dictate, you know, something that I'm not, I need to receive from you. And, oh, I love the Lord so much because of his gentleness. That's one of the things I love about him. He didn't say, what's wrong with you? Whack. He said, don't be so sure that only he has something for you because you have something for him too. And that completely changed my stance. My intimidation went whoosh out the door. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but it was a God appointment for sure. And compassion for this person welled up within me. And he gave some good insight that I loved and I've shared with our leadership team. And it was definitely a God appointment, but the point I have for you from that story is that when we think of going public with our faith, sometimes intimidation keeps us from stepping into a place that God has for us to share. Okay? So what got me through that moment of intimidation was asking the question, what do I have for him? I know what he has for me. He has some wisdom to share about church consulting. Good. I want to go in with an open hand, and I want to receive anything God has for me. But I also needed to know that I had something for him. So today, as we talk about going public, I want us to ask ourselves the question, what do I have? Because I don't know about you, but some of us were taught all through life, there are two things you don't talk about with people, politics and religion, right? So what keeps us from going public with our faith is sometimes not recognizing what we have. So the first thing I want us to talk about that we have is number one, I have the Holy Spirit. If you have asked Jesus to come into your heart, you have the Holy Spirit. That's not a small thing. It's not a small thing. In John 14, 16, and 17, in the Passion Translation, it says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend, oh, just like me. And he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him, but you will know him intimately because he will make his home in you and will live inside you. I don't know why it's hard for us to remember, but we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And no matter how intimidated you feel about sharing your faith, you have the Holy Spirit who gives boldness and who gives compassion in equal measure. You know, Peter had a whole lot of boldness. in the wrong times, and in the right times he had no boldness, or in the wrong time he had wrong boldness, you know, like, no, Jesus, don't get crucified, you know. He had a mix there. But after the Holy Spirit came, he had boldness and compassion in just the right measure. You have the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit, right? In Matthew 10, 7 and 8, it says this. Jesus is talking. He says, and as you go, preach this message. Heaven's kingdom realm is accessible, close enough to touch. You must continually bring healing to lepers and to those who are sick, and make it your habit to break off the demonic presence from people and raise the dead back to life. Freely you have received the power of the kingdom, so freely release it to others. Go public. Go public. When you have the Holy Spirit, you have the presence of God in you and with you at all times. It's not like you put a coat on when you walk in the church and now you have the presence of God, and then before you walk out, you take it off. No. You carry the presence of God with you. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit gives gifts. If you want to look into that, it's found in 1 Corinthians 12. You have the gifts of the Spirit. I think we've been taught a little wrong on that, honestly. We've tried to categorize people. Oh, you have the gift of tongues. Oh, you have the gift of healing. Oh, you have the gift of prophecy. I'm not convinced that's how it works. I'm more convinced that the Holy Spirit gives us whatever gift we need in that moment to go public with someone. And if I need the gift of prophecy, he will give me the gift of prophecy in that moment. Let's not put titles on it. I don't have to become a prophet to function in the gift of prophecy for a moment. If I need the gift of healing to give to someone, he will give me the gift of healing. Not only do I have the presence of God and the gifts of the Spirit, I have the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You know what? In the world that we live in, a little bit of love and joy and peace is not a small thing. It is not a small thing. I am so tired of people posting stuff on Facebook that is fear-oriented. Be afraid. Be very afraid. No, I don't want to be afraid. Because I have love inside of me from the presence of the Holy Spirit that can overtake any fear. So I don't get afraid when I read it. I get angry. Stop it. Just stop it. What good is it? Right? We carry the presence of God. But it's like this. I'm so convinced. It's like this. We're walking through this desert called life. And we bump up against someone and we're like, wow, you are really dry. You are thirsty. You need some water. I'll pray for you, brother. Woo, it's hot out here. Isn't it hot? It's hot. Wow. Woo, you look hot. Are you okay? You look really hot. I'm sorry. Hope you find some water. Hope you find some good water. Hope you find some good water. Or worse than that, we do this. What is your problem? Why don't you just go find just some water? Would you please just go find some water? No. If we're going to go public, boy, I better move that. Because you know the kids, when they come to get the candy, it's going to be all over. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we have the opportunity to take water to a dying, thirsty world. I don't have to dump it over them. I just get to give them a drink. And sometimes that means just having an ounce of compassion. Sometimes that means not screaming at the person who cut you off in traffic, knowing they're one of God's special children. I have to tell myself this. We have the Holy Spirit. What else do we have? We have good news. Woo! We have good news. Why do we forget that? We have good news. Jesus didn't say, go and tell everybody they're dying and going to hell. That's not what he said. Go and share the good news. Go and share the good news. 1 Corinthians 9:18 says, so then where is my reward if it is found in continually depositing the good news into people's hearts without obligation, free of charge, and not insisting on my own rights to be financially supported? Paul said, even if I never got one dime for what I do, it is well worth what I do, being able to share and deposit into people some good news. Because there's nothing like seeing a life changed. There is nothing like it. Yeah, pastoring is hard. Dave would admit that, I think, too, at times. It's tough. It has its challenges. There's no doubt about it. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, really? Are you sure? Are you 100% sure? But I'm telling you, then I start thinking about the people I've been able to deposit a little bit of good news into. And I'm like, okay, it's worth it. It's worth it. Even if it's side by side crying with someone as they get delivered the worst news they could imagine. Even if it's just weeping with them, my presence allows them to know there's hope for another day. Sometimes that's enough. That's the best deposit you can make into someone. In Colossians 1, 3 and 6, through 6, it says this, every time we pray for you, our hearts overflow with thanksgiving to Father God. Huh? On pastor appreciation, that's kind of cool. For we have heard of your devoted lives of faith in Christ Jesus and your tender love toward all his believers. Your faith and love rise within you as you access all the treasures of your inheritance stored up in the heavenly realm. For the revelation of the true gospel is as real today as the day you first heard of our glorious hope. Now that you have believed the truth of this gospel, this is the wonderful message that is being spread everywhere. This is the good news. Powerfully changing hearts throughout the earth, just like it changed you. Every believer of this good news bears the fruit of eternal life as they experience the reality of God's grace. Man, I love the Passion Translation. I love the way it says it. I love that. You see, you have good news that has the power to change someone's outlook, someone's perspective, someone's very life, someone's generation to come. You have good news that will change 2, 3, 4, 5 generations. You have the good news. And there are people who will listen to you who will not listen to me. You understand? They hear the word pastor and they clam up. Woo! Okay, I can almost see them stepping back. But you have access to them because you're not a pastor. You're a minister, but you're not a pastor. You're like undercover. Secret agent. You have good news. Just because I want to. Do we have time? Okay. I have a 2-and-something-minute video for you about good news. It's going to make you want to dance.
I've been quiet for way too long. I can't fight it no, no more. Got a story, and it's time to tell. Because I just can't keep it to myself. Somebody give me a microphone or a megaphone or a telephone.
I gotta share.
You're gonna clap your hands, gonna wanna dance.
Let me hear one.
Good news, got that old late new. Got that joy coming through, got me feeling alright. Good news, got that skip in my step. Feel that beat in my chest. Got that love in my life, I'm talking good, good news. I got that good, good news. Yeah. I've been praying.
How long?
For so, so long.
To share it. Evangelism when I was growing up was more about you need to go and tell people about Jesus. And I think if it's more like this, it's just way more fun and way more authentic. You know, just remember you have good news. So you have the Holy Spirit, you have good news, and you have stories. You have stories, I have stories of God's faithfulness, of his goodness, of his kindness, of his creativity, of his power. You have stories. I have stories. There's a verse in Acts 4 that talks about after the healing of the lame man, the beggar, who was at the temple gates, Peter and John were arrested, which cracks me up. Arrested why? Because you healed someone? Okay. So this is what it says in verse 20. It's impossible for us to stop speaking about all the things we've seen and heard. Peter and John, when they're brought before the council, and they're like, you need to stop talking about this Jesus guy so much. And they're like, we can't stop telling our stories. Are you kidding? We can't do that. Since the members of the council, this cracks me up, couldn't come up with a crime they could punish them for, they threatened them once more and let them go. Yeah. Okay. All the people, praise God, thrilled over the miraculous healing of the crippled man. And the man who received this miracle sign of healing was over 40 years old. I love that little detail. As soon as they were released from custody, what did they do? They went out and told the story. Peter and John went to the other believers and explained all that had happened with the high priest and the elders. When the believers heard their report, they raised their voices in unity and prayed. Tell your stories. Tell your stories. Your stories. How did Jesus share the gospel more than not? Stories. Stories. There's two little interest or tidbits I'll give you about your story. Make God the hero. Make God the hero, not you, not another person. Make God the hero, because he really is, and keep it short. Have you ever had someone give one of their stories as a way to encourage you, and you're like, oh, you know, like it really became all about them more than about what you're going through. And I've been guilty of it myself, so I'm not throwing any stones at anybody. I'm just saying, keep God the hero and keep it short as much as possible. Because what people really need is a little drink of hope. A little drink of peace. Just a small drink of that. And then they'll come back hungry for more. My goal in ministry up here and in the world is to keep people hungry for more. Like, never want them never saying, well, I didn't think she would ever shut up. I like to talk. I'm a talker, you know. But I want people to want more. Just give them a little dose of peace, a little dose of hope with your story. Say, look, this is what God has done in my life in this situation. So because I know he did it for me, I know he'll do it for you. You make it then about them. Make God the hero and then make it about them to tell your story. Now, we cannot have a message series called Going Public without actually, thank you, going public, right? So every week for the next 3 weeks, well, for the next 2 weeks, I'll give you an activation step and then Ron will on the next week. So today, your activation step, don't be just a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word too, right? So here's your activation step for this week. It's not hard. Youth, I encourage you to be part of this. If you need to take out your phone and make a little reminder to yourself, your first step is identify one of the spiritual gifts or fruit that you've seen in your life. Just identify one, okay? So I am really good at joy. I bring joy to places when I come in. So if that's yours, write down somewhere joy, right? If maybe yours is faith, you have great faith for people. When you encounter something, write down faith. Whatever it is, identify one thing. Maybe a story of yours is coming to your mind right now. Not a gift or a fruit, but a story. Just make a mental or make a note of that on your phone or on paper or whatever. Make a note of the story. That's your first step. Your second step, pray and ask God to bring one person into your path in the next 7 days who needs what you have. Now, he will do it, so don't ask him unless you're willing to share. Because he will do it. Just say, God, I know that you have used me in the past in that I have faith for people when they need you. And so I'm asking you to bring one person across my path this week who needs faith that I get to share with them. That's your second step. Your third step, get ready to share how it happened. Because next week we're going to have testimonies at the beginning of the message from people who actually did their engagement step and don't mind sharing up here, okay? Can you do that? Okay, let's pray together right now. Father, I thank you that it is your plan for us to go public. You have no desire for us to experience all of your goodness and all of your kindness and then not share it. And so I just thank you right now for the people in this room who will go public this week, whether it's a neighbor or a coworker or a stranger in the grocery store, whatever the case may be, you already have planned all of these encounters for every one of us. And so first, I pray that you would help every person in this room to see what they have. Show them that one thing that they have that they can share with someone. And help them to have confidence in that, Lord. Help them to have confidence in you, not in themselves, but in you. Having a never-ending supply of what they need. And then I pray, God, that you would just lead our paths in such a way that you will bring one person across our path that needs what we have to share. And that you will make it so effortless that it will see, we will question whether or not it was really you. Because it just happens so naturally. I know in my heart, God, one of the things you're doing on this in this day and age is you are making the supernatural natural. And so I pray for that over our congregation right now, that you will make the supernatural natural. And God, we will do it. We will share with one person. We will go public with one person. Whenever you create that opportunity, you will quicken our hearts to know this is the moment, and we will just jump into what you have for that moment. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for doing this. In Jesus' name. If you don't want to share your story next week in front of people, share it on Facebook between now and Sunday, next week. That's fine. Turn Facebook into something good. Woo. Most of mine are. I enjoy Facebook for the most part. That's why I'm still on it. Because it can be an encouragement. It can be. It can be helpful. So let's do that, okay? If you're in, say I'm in.
I'm in.
All right. You sounded about 50% convinced. One more time. I'm in. Yeah, good. Going public. Next week. Where's the microphone? Here it is. Next week, we are going to continue the message series with What Moves Me. Today was What Do I Have? Next week, What Moves Me? I think you're going to like that one too. And then I ask Haley to come up and do an announcement for the youth event that's coming next week, along with the adult Experience Life event. The youth are doing something at the same time at the same place.
Yep. So the youth event next weekend, October 21st, the youth is going to meet out in the lobby, and then we're going to go to Chipotle together, and then we're going to go to the Dorothick's Corn Maze, which is in Manaway.
Yeah.
And we're going to meet all the adults there, and we're going to compete against each other, so the adults against the teens. So it'll be fun. And then, so just bring money for Chipotle, and the Corn Maze is $12. So hope you all can come, and if you have any questions, just see me.
Okay, the youth, it's on. I'm just saying. It's on.
Bring it.
Bring it. Okay. Okay. Challenge accepted. The youth versus the adults in the corn maze. Adults, you really don't want me on your team. I'm just giving you fair warning. I'm directionally challenged. And I went to that corn maze. They have two different corn mazes. They have one for babies that's supposed to take about 30 minutes, and then one for adults that's supposed to take about an hour and a half, I think, or an hour. And I did the baby one, and an hour and a half later, I finally found my way out. Seriously. But it's a lot of fun. It's a great time. There's information in the program about it as well as online. If the adults have any questions, see Chris over here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for Pastor Appreciation Day. Have a great week. I love you guys.